want to just take a moment to welcome any of our first-time guests. It's just such an honor to have you with us. I got an opportunity to meet a few first-time guests today, and it's always just good to see new family in the house of God. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we know that God's got a great plan for your life. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. You know, and sometimes people have mistaken that, you know, that verse as if we're saying that tests never come in this life. Well, we know that they do come. But I tell you what, God's got something better than the test. Amen. We can pass that test. We can overcome that test. And the Bible says that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter under the perfect day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says over there in 1 Peter 3:10, who will love life and see many good days?
Yes.
Right? Let him refrain his lips from evil and his tongue that he speaks no guile.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So God's got a good plan for our life.
That's
but we got to find it. We got to do what it says. It can't be our way. It's got to be his way. Found right here in the Bible. We don't pick and choose what we like and don't like from this. Amen. We preach it all, and we're grateful for the times that it instructs us, the times that it encourages us, but there's times when it corrects us as well. So we welcome that. Praise the Lord. So we just know that you're in the right place at the right time today, because we're going to be in a place where the Word of God is taught. Hallelujah. I don't know if many of you had an opportunity to see the picture out there as you came into the sanctuary, just continually putting that before our faith and our remembrance that this church is beginning a satellite location in Erie, Pennsylvania, starting in January. Many of you saw the picture of the building that we're going to be moving into. We have purchased that property on Peach Street. It's a familiar building to many of you. It is soon to be the former Amish Buggy furniture store, and we're going to be conducting services out there on Saturday evening starting in January. I will be there to minister the Word of God. Our worship director, Reverend Tony Jones, will be there with a few of our worship team members, and we're just going to have a time of heaven on earth in Erie. We're going to see souls come to the Lord. Amen. We're going to see lives change, marriages restored. Praise the Lord. So we're excited about that. We just appreciate your continued faith, your continued giving, your continued support as we expand the family churches. Amen. Moving into our 10th church location. Oh, also something that I'd like to announce here is that this past week, Family Church Wellsville, how many of you remember that we had an opportunity purchase that property? They have renovated that property. They worked hard all summer, and last week they began holding services.
Amen.
With Pastor Ray and Cami Oberst.
Yeah.
They are from the Fredonia Church. They've been raised up for several years there by Pastor Michael, and so Family Church Wellsville is up and operational. They had several families visit on their first day, and so we're excited to announce that, because we all had a part to play in that.
Yeah.
Amen. Many of you remember the church building there was owned by the TV network TCT. TCT got a hold of me. I have some individuals that I'm friends with there, and they said, hey, are you interested in purchasing that property? And long story short, you know, they, you know, wanted to sell it for, you know, basically the market price. We said, no thanks. And then they came all the way down to the point they got a hold of us, you know, a couple years later and said, hey, you know, we will agree to sell that church building with the parking lot for $10,000. So we had an opportunity to purchase. And of course, that was out of the generosity of your hearts and our contribution as a church family, that we had an opportunity to purchase that. Also, Fredonia chipped in, and now we own that property, scot-free, debt-free.
Yeah.
Amen. And so they took the summer. They worked very hard. It looks way better. They've renovated it and made it very nice. And so there's souls being touched out there that we have a part to play in. Amen. And so Wellsville is open now. Erie is soon to come. Amen. Keep your faith and your prayers moving in that direction, because there's souls waiting for our faithfulness out there. Glory to God. You hungry for the Word here today? Join me in your Bibles in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to kind of pick up where I was on Wednesday night. I know that some of you weren't able to be there, but I'm going to catch you up. Praise the Lord. And I am going to call this message, How to Find Due Season. Or you could say it this way, how to make sure you get to your appointed time. How to make sure to get to your appointed time. And we saw this on Wednesday night, and we're going to be reminded of it again here, is that God has a due season or an appointed time set up for our lives. And of course, there's many different seasons or appointed times in our life as we follow God. But we want to make sure that we don't miss those due seasons. Because in that due season is what you've been believing God for. In that due season is your change.
Yes.
You know, listen, the Lord never changes, but how many of you know that we change every day?
Yes.
How many of you know there's circumstances in our life that we need to change?
Yes.
We need to see a change. And as Pastor Brad talked about on Wednesday night, I ministered along the line of Job 14:14, where Job said this. He said, if a man dies, shall he live again? Right? He said, yeah, but all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. Hallelujah. And the Amplified Bible says that all the days of my service and warfare, I will wait until my release and my change comes. Job said, Job knew, he's like, no matter how bad the circumstances are, no matter how much the test is weighing on him, he said, if I just keep doing the same faithful things, if I keep doing things right, and if I'm consistent, I will see my appointed time, I'll see my change. Hallelujah. And we said this, that, you know, faithfulness is not measured in days. It's not measured in weeks or months. And it's not just measured in 1 year or 2 years. Faithfulness is measured over many years.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Can I go ahead and have an usher shut the back door to the sanctuary? I have sunlight from our vehicles out there on our windshields. Our two laser beams are beaming right in my eyeballs. And I sat up here for the last minute wrestling whether I was going to have them close that or not, and don't want to disrupt the service, but I'm not like that, folks. If you're waiting for a certain formality here, I'm not gonna break out that formality. Praise the Lord. And you know what? Can we go ahead and put something, because it's still coming right through that window. Like, I can't hardly see anybody due to that reflection off some windshields out there. Praise the Lord for a sunny Sunday morning. Aren't you glad? Glory to God. But God has a due season. He has a change for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we looked at this, Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 7, 8, and 9. Pastor Brad ministered on this during the tithes and offerings, and it says in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man sows. So notice it's not just money. It's not talking about just finances. It's whatsoever a man sows. A man sows a bad attitude, you can reap from that. You sow complaining, you can reap from that, right? You sow unfaithfulness, you can reap from that, right? And of course, also financially, it's talking about even specifically here. But it's whatsoever a man sows. And so we know this, that sometimes we think that harvest in our life is just a random choice by God, that we have no power or say or influence in what happens in our life. No, this isn't talking about what God sows. This is talking about what we sow.
Yes. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Notice it says, whatsoever a man sows, that only is what he's going to reap.
Yes.
All right? So it's not the random action of God. It is more in our control than we ever thought possible.
Right. Amen.
All right? Your harvest in life is not based upon what kind of day God is having.
Yeah, amen.
You know, your harvest in life is not based on some kind of random lottery system that God has. You know, like all of a sudden your number's just going to come up one day. It's not random like that. How many of you know whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap?
Yeah.
You know, a farmer doesn't do that. He doesn't look at that field and say, man, I sure hope this year, you know, the harvest is going to work. I hope it just automatically comes up for me. No, he looks at that field. He's like, you know what? I got to get out there. And I got to get some seed into the ground. Because I know that there's an appointed time to reap. And I don't want to miss that time. So I got to get out there. I got to plow the ground. I got to sow the seed. I got to water the seed, and I got to weed the garden and weed the fields and fertilize and all these things that they do, right? Because they understand that their actions are going to affect their harvest.
That's right.
Yeah, and he knows. You don't want to be the lazy farmer. You know, lazy farmer might seem, you know, pretty good during sowing season. You know what I mean? When all the other farmers are up before the sun and they're plowing their fields and they're sowing the seed and all that stuff, it'd be nice at that time to be the farmer that gets to sleep in. You know, the farmer that gets to, you know, not have to do all the work. But I tell you what, he's going to regret it. Because when all the other farmers are reaping their fields, enjoying the harvest, he's going to miss his appointed time. And so that's what we're talking about today. Do not miss your appointed season with God. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows. Yep, you're sowing here today. I'm not talking about just tithes and offerings. The fact that you put God first today, you are sowing. And I'll tell you what, that is what's going to bring your harvest, is a consistent sowing into God's plan. Sowing into the church, sowing your time, sowing your effort, right? On Wednesday night, I used the illustration of reps in a workout. You know, a rep. You know, and of course, I told some funny stories of my working out and my lack of working out. And I admitted just how much I hate lifting weights. I have a weight bench. I do it from time to time, you know. Been doing halfway decent lately and got to, you know, pick up the pace again here. But I just admit, I hate lifting weights. But, you know, and of course, I told the story a couple weeks ago. I was working out, and I had just maxed out. I mean, my muscles were fatigued. That burn was going on, you know, the burn. And, I mean, I'm sweating. My heart rate's up. And I just sit up on my bench, and I just said out loud to myself, who in their right mind enjoys doing this? Because I hear people that, I just love working out. Can't wait to get to the gym. I don't understand that. I just don't. I'm sorry. You know, praise the Lord. But as soon as I said that, I said, who in their right mind enjoys that? The Lord spoke up and spoke to me instantly, and he said, those that have seen the benefit of it. That. And all of a sudden I realized that's exactly it. Because every rep is a direction or a step in a destination. You know what I mean? Every rep is going to take me to a better place. Right? Amen. Just like in spiritual things, every rep, every time you're in church when the doors are open, that's a step towards a better place. Every time you open the Word of God to meditate in the Word, that is a step towards a better destination. Amen. Every time you come to a special meeting, right? Every time you pray, it's a step in the right direction. It's a rep towards your goal. Praise the Lord. So don't be deceived. God is not mocked. So what is that saying? Don't be mad at God for where you are in life. If you want a different harvest, start getting some seed in the ground. If you want circumstances to change, then get some seed in the ground and get ready for the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, because so many people are saying, why God? You know, and the question should be, why not? You know, why aren't you reaping the harvest? Where are you reaping? You can't reap where you haven't sowed. Amen. You know? And so we talked about this Wednesday night. And then verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So you didn't do that today. You didn't sow to the flesh. Why? You came to the church. Some people are out sowing to the flesh, playing golf on Sunday. You know, I always mention that one. Going fishing on a Sunday. You know, going to the barbecue instead of going to church. What are they doing? Sowing to their flesh. Bible tells us what happens. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Yeah, you'll reap trouble. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And now verse 9 is what I want to get to. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, the Bible tells us that there's going to be a temptation to grow weary as if we aren't seeing the harvest as fast as we should. You know, it's kind of like working out. I wish I could go to the gym one or two times and see something different in my body. It don't happen. And that's why I don't understand why those gyms are filled. I can't stand going to gyms. I just don't like it. And if you own a gym or go to the gym, well, God bless you. You got me beat, you know. But they're just loaded with mirrors. And I've seen guys there, you know, they'll hit one set of bench presses. They get up and they turn in the mirror and start. And I'm just thinking, there's no difference right now. You can't do one set and start flexing like your life just changed. Yeah, they might seem a little bigger right now because, you know, you're in the pump. But stop. That's like, you know, wanting to lose weight and jogging around the track one time and then coming back and stepping on the scale hoping to see the number change. No, don't work that way. You got to consistently. You can't grow weary. And I've been told by workout experts is when your muscles are fatigued, when you're maxed out, that is where you get the biggest gain or benefit, is when you max that intensity out. Max intensity. That's such the workout phrase these days. Everything's max intensity. But you don't give up right when it starts to get tough. Believe me, as soon as I get winded and I start sweating, I just want to say, hey, I'm done with this garbage. That's what my flesh and my mind says. Like I said, that's when my mind says, you know, go get a bag of potato chips. And my mind says, go get a bag of potato chips. And my body says, go get a bag of potato chips. And then I say, all right. No, that's not what I say. It's not what I should say. But is at that time when you feel like you want to give up the most, that is when you are making the most headway. That is when things are changing the most. In the same way spiritually, when life is upon you hard, you know what I mean?
Right.
When things are adversely against you, it is when you do, when you keep those reps going, when you keep being faithful in the consistent spiritual things, that is when you are making the most difference in your spiritual life. Amen. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, that farmer doesn't come back 2 weeks later expecting to have all of his harvest ready. You know, he looks out there, it still looks like dirt. But he says, I know there's something happening where I can't see.
There you go.
He said, I know I've put a process in motion.
Yes.
I've put the power in motion. I have prepared the ground, I have planted the seed, and now that power is working in a place I can't see.
That's right.
And the time's going to come when I'm not just going to have dirt anymore. I'm going to come back someday at the appointed time, and I'm going to have a full field.
That's right.
Listen, there is coming a day where you won't have to have dirt anymore.
That's right. Good word.
There's coming a day where it won't be the same old nothingness.
That's right.
But if you will consistently stay faithful,
yes,
do what God says, and don't grow weary in it, and faint not,
that's right,
the Bible says you shall reap.
Yes.
Now, notice it says you'll reap in due season. Literally, it means the appointed time. There is an appointed time for you to reap if you have been faithfully sowing in God's direction. All right? There's an appointed time. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, is not missing that time. Because I've seen in the Bible where God has great plans for these people, and they almost missed it. They almost missed it. And we're going to show you one of those examples today. Go with me in your Bible back to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. How many of you remember the patriarch Isaac? Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham being the founder of this promise. The Bible now says in Galatians 3 that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. If you're Christ's, then you are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Aren't you glad you're an heir of Abraham? Yeah. And a few weeks back, we taught you what that means to be an heir of Abraham. I'll tell you, if you weren't here for those messages, you need to get on our archives and go back and watch them. It'll change your life realizing who the Bible says you are. But we come over here into Genesis chapter 26, and we start to see Isaac. Remember, he was the son of promise. He was the son of Abraham and Sarah after they had waited 25 years for the promise of God to show up. And now we pick it up here in Genesis 26. Isaac is a grown man. And God's dealing with him too, because God had planned to bring his plan to the earth through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, on up through history. Then Jesus came through that lineage, and now here we are today as a result of this man's faithfulness. But it almost didn't happen. He almost missed it by doing the same thing that we almost do in a time of circumstances, and we're going to talk about that right now. Let's start in verse 1, Genesis 26, 1. So we're talking about how to find due season. Or you could say this, say it this way, how not to miss your appointed time.
Amen.
Or the reverse is true, how to get to the appointed time.
Yes.
All right. Verse 1, it says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, Isaac's dad. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Well, you say, well, now I'm going to read all this and then we'll come back and we'll get something out of it. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn or live in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto your seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That certainly is true.
Yeah.
How many of you were blessed because of what Isaac has done? Yes, we all, if you're born again.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that Abraham, verse 5, obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then go over there to verse 12. So God tells him, stay right there. Live where I tell you to live. And then in verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land, or he planted fields. Okay, now we know that planting fields in a famine land is probably naturally not something that you could depend on. But when God tells you to do it, how many of you know it's going to work? All right? So you could say it this way, then Isaac sowed in the land of famine. Yes, he did. And received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. He sowed in a land of famine, and in the same year received 100-fold return on what he planted. How many of you know that that's God? Because no one else was reaping anything in those days, but yet the faithful man of God was reaping. Hallelujah. And verse 13, now, notice this, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. So now, obviously, Isaac went on to become extremely influential. He became, materially rich, all right? He was very blessed by God. Verse 14, it says, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The enemies of God, the Philistines, envied him. So how many of you know that Isaac moved into a season of great influence even amongst the lost? Wouldn't you say that that was a due season?
Oh, yes.
He sowed in the land of famine, reaped 100-fold. He grew till he was very great, to the point where everyone around him envied him.
Yes.
Or basically, you could say it this way. They wanted to know how he did it.
Sure.
How many of you know that that's influence?
Yeah.
How many of you know that that influence is worth more than the flocks,
yeah,
more than the gold, more than that he had?
Oh, yeah.
God gave him the greatest honor that you can give anybody. The greatest honor you can ever reap from God is influence.
Yes.
To influence the lost or people that don't know him.
Yes.
To be an example.
Yeah.
That God says, look at my man or my woman right there. That's how you do it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. How many of you know that that was due season for Isaac? How'd he get there? And notice he almost missed it. Go back to verse 1 and let me give you at least four things that can either destroy your due season or make your due season. All right? And so with every one of these points, there's the thing that can destroy it, but on the opposite, you know, if you do the opposite of this, of these points, you will also find your due season. All right? Go to verse 1. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. All right, this is what happens, and we've all been tempted to do this. As soon as tough circumstances arise, we scramble to go find someone's opinion. Notice who Isaac went to first. He went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Does Abimelech know anything about God? He sought out, here's the first thing that almost killed his due season. Are you ready? He sought the wrong advice. He sought the wrong opinion, or you could say it this way, he sought the wrong voice. Yeah. Yep. He went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Abimelech didn't serve God. Abimelech wasn't in the habit of worshiping the Lord. So did Abimelech have any answers for Isaac? Nope. See, a lot of people are doing the same thing. As soon as they come against tough circumstances, they scramble to find somebody, and many times the person that they find is not serving the Lord.
Right.
Listen, it might even be a family member. It might even be a parent. It might even be, you know, a relative or a close friend that you grew up with. That is not the question of whether how close they are related to you. All right? Some people, they will run to a rich man. You know, they'll run to an influential person. You know what I mean? That's what he did.
Sure.
How many times have churches done that? They put influential businessmen on their church boards. Just because they have been successful in business doesn't mean that they know how to run a church. Oh, I know several like that. I've been told by several, like, yeah, we have so-and-so on our church board. Oh, well, is that person even a Christian? No, they're not even a Christian, but they're good with money. A non-Christian on your church board? You know, people will do the same thing. They'll go to a family member who doesn't serve God. Or they'll go to their employer or something. Or they'll go, God forbid, to the TV or to the internet. Pick up some, you know, TV psychologist or some YouTube thing or whatever, seeking counsel. Listen, you don't need to scramble for an ungodly opinion. Oh, praise the Lord. And now notice in verse 2, we kind of get an idea of what Abimelech told Isaac to do. And it says, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. So giving us the idea that Abimelech told Isaac, go to Egypt. You know why Abimelech would have told him that? Because that's what everyone else did in that land when there was famine. In that part of the world back then, when there was a famine, they would run for Egypt because in Egypt was the Nile River. And the Nile River Delta is one of the luscious plains of the earth, especially back then, okay? And so when all the lands were famished, that's just what everyone did. Just get into the, you know, get into the stream of what everyone else is doing and go into Egypt. So notice he almost missed his due season. One, by listening to the wrong opinions of someone who is not following God. Listen, I don't bring anyone into my closest confidence. Doesn't mean I don't have unbelieving friends. I do. Doesn't mean I'm not good to people that don't know Jesus. I am. Those who we're wanting to win and love on them, right? But I don't bring into my personal closest association, meaning people that I would accept their counsel. If they're not serving God fully, they don't counsel me.
That's right. Amen. Good.
Well, that went over well. Well, but I needed business advice. I don't care. Is that? I don't care what's in their bank account or what their business is doing. I want to know, are they serving God? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I saw on TV, Dr. Phil said this. Listen, I don't know what Dr. Phil's doing in his private time. I'm just using him as an example. You know, Oprah Winfrey said, I don't care what Oprah Winfrey said or what she said in her magazine. And, you know, she had this special on marriage and all this. Is she serving Jesus with her full heart? Don't answer that out loud. I don't know. I sure doesn't appear so, but I'm just using that as an excuse. Well, praise the Lord. That went over well. Come on now. Well, you know, I came under this hard time, and I went to my mom and asked her, you know, what I should do. Wonderful. Praise God for godly mothers. But is mom serving Jesus? Yep. Come on now. Well, I went to this, and I went to that. I talked to this person. I went to my professor. Is your professor serving God? I mean, fully. You need to ask yourself this. See, you don't need to scramble for an opinion. Isaac almost missed it because he went and sought the opinions of man instead of the opinions of God. Come on. Come on now. Oh, praise the Lord. Trouble arises, people start to scramble for an opinion. Yep. See, people just want to be told what to do without having to seek for themselves. It's just easy to go to somebody, have them tell you what to do without having to seek yourself. You better take the time, seek God, seek it out for yourself, get the answer from heaven. Because notice this, the economy didn't matter to God. The famine moved man, but it didn't move God. Oh, and that leads me to the, oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God didn't care about the famine. But God, the dirt is dry here. He said, I don't care that the dirt's dry. See, because you think that God needs natural reasons to do something. God's not afraid to call you to a famished land and make you prosper in it. Those people, those Philistines needed an example. They needed to see that the God of Abraham was the true living God. They needed to see that Dagon, their God, was no God at all. While their crops were failing, they watched Isaac's grow. Don't you think? God needs someone to bring something good to a famished land. See, I see people do this all the time. They will get into a place, God will start to bless them in a local church. Oh, but the economy. Well, the economy in this area isn't good. I got to move to South Carolina. I got to move to Arizona. I got to move. Yeah, I'm sorry, but we just got to get out of here. Yeah, you're doing exactly what Abimelech told them to do. You know, you need to ask yourself, but is this where God called you? Because God doesn't need a good economy to bless you.
Amen.
The famine moves man, but it don't move God. God doesn't need this earth's economy. He doesn't need a strong U.S. dollar to bless you. And that leads us to the second thing that almost cost Isaac his due season. Verse 2, the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. It wasn't God's plan. See, a lot of people are jumping into the current or the direction of the world. Oh, and they're missing their place. Here's the second thing that almost killed his due season is he almost got out of the place of blessing. He was about to remove himself from the place of blessing. Isn't it amazing how people will think that circumstances are an indicator of what God's doing? Isaac almost did the same thing. Well, there's famine here. I must have to go into Egypt. You know, it's amazing to me as a pastor, and I'm just going to speak real plainly, how I have seen, you know, over these last 10 years, I mean, people think that it's God as long as it's going good, but as soon as a trial comes, all of a sudden, the circumstances, did they change God's mind? Pastor, I know that I'm called to this church. I've seen the blessings of God. I've learned more here, and you know, I've seen God just, you know, move on my life here, and then all of a sudden one trial comes. Oh, we got to leave. Did the circumstances change God's mind? They don't change God's mind. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't want to remove yourself from the place of blessing. The devil wants to prevent you from these new seasons. And the number one way he's going to prevent your due season is to get you out of your place. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says that the Lord sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleases him. He sets the members in the body as it pleases him, using our natural body as an illustration. Aren't you glad your lungs aren't wandering down through your legs today? I'm so glad that my liver doesn't want to travel to my shoulder. And you've heard me use this illustration, and we even had Bobby Angelella. Where is Bobby? Bobby's up there in our sound booth up there. And he had made a picture, and we had posted on Facebook, and he took a little clip from one of the services, that if you could see what the body of Christ really looks like in the spirit, it would look like a Mr. Potato Head with its arms and nose and all the parts. You remember doing that as a kid? You know, you wouldn't just build Mr. Potato Head and make him look like a distinguished Mr. Potato Head. He had arms coming out of his eye sockets and, you know, all that stuff. Remember that? Putting his lips on top of his head where his hat's supposed to be. That's what the body of Christ looks like. Because a lot of believers are just traveling around the body, and they're not being set in place as it pleases the Lord. What is the motivation behind that? That is the devil keeping them wandering so that they miss the due seasons. Why? Because when you get into your due seasons, the Philistines are going to take notice.
Good. Come on. That's it. Good.
Do you know what I mean by that? You got Philistines in your life. People that don't love God. People that need to see a living example.
That's right.
See, the devil was trying to prevent that. Don't want the Philistines to see how good your God is. When you move into your due seasons and they ask you how you're doing it, let me just tell you how. I've stayed faithful in the house of God. I've been faithful to hear the word week in, week out. Do the word week in, week out. And I wait till my change comes. Faithfulness will always cause you to rise to the top. Oh, praise God. So if you are in your place of blessing, God can move you into due season. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Yep. Oh, it wasn't the economy that concerned God. You know, just think of all those people that moved into Egypt seeking a natural form of help. None of them heard the voice of God like Isaac. He said, Isaac, you stay here, and I'll perform miracles on your behalf because it's where I have called you to be. But a lot of Christians today, I'm just going to go to this church, and then I'm going to go to this one, and then I'm going to go to this one, and then I'm going to go to this one. That's not what the word says. Right. Psalm 93, what, verse 13? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Listen, nothing wrong with looking for a church. Praise God, we welcome people all the time here. That's how we all came here at one point. But you know what I mean? But we don't judge God's opinion by circumstances. We don't realize, oh my goodness, I'm growing there, I'm learning there, I'm being prospered there, but all of a sudden I go through a tough time, I got to go float around. No, the reason why tough times come to a lot of Christians is because they're too busy out floating around. God doesn't look, he's not looking for floaters. Listen, if you need to find a good Bible teaching church, find one and then get planted there, serve there, give there. Dedicate your life there. Don't you go and get into this American society idea that you're looking for the new trendy thing. Family Church is not here to be a trendy church. Not about trends. We're not trying to outdo the rock stage. You know what I mean? You know, this church is about finding godly answers for your life. What God says. And the reason why you're here is because you're hungry for godly answers in your life. Well, here's one. Find a place that preaches the word and grow your roots deep there.
Amen.
Right. You know, a farmer doesn't look at his field and say, well, I like this field today. I'll plant a little. No, I need to go over to this field. Oh, I need to go to this one. Oh, I need to go to this one. You can't be doing that. He's just scattering to the wind if he's doing that. Oh, God's not afraid to call you to a place where the famine seems to be raging. Listen, never forget this. Circumstances don't equal truth.
Yeah, good word.
Circumstances don't equal truth. The circumstance to Isaac was famine in the land. God says, listen, but that's not truth. Meaning it's a fact. He's like, yeah, that's really going on. We know that that's happening. But the truth was, Isaac, you're to stay there. You know, sometimes we think we got to run from famine. Why don't we change it?
Yeah, change it. I like that.
Why don't we change it? You know, so many times people are running from the hardship. Why don't you take that thing head on, use your faith, obey God, sow into the house of God and change that thing instead of running from that thing.
Right.
Everyone else is running to Egypt, running away from the trouble. Listen, I'll tell you this. People that run from their troubles, the trouble is going to follow you. I'm not here the goal of this church isn't to just act like troubles don't exist. We take them on. I see people, they get in trouble. They got to go run away from it. Maybe church to church, job to job, relationship to relationship. Listen. You know, this place is about dealing with those things head on. You know, I'm not just going to pass things over. You know, when you sit down and you're going through something in your life, we're going to get the answer out of the Bible. Right? And we're going to handle that. And not just say, you just need to go run around. It's not your job that needs to change. It's not your church that needs to change. You don't need to change your spouse. Have you ever learned that yet? You need to change you. I need to change me. My job is to do my job. But circumstances don't equal truth. You know what I mean by that? Just because Isaac looked and he looked with his own eyes and said, man, I got to get out of here. But the whole time God was saying, no, that's exactly where I'm going to bless you. Well, I'm glad you're excited here today. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right. Well, let's keep reading here. And now look what God says to him in verse 3. He says, stay in this land. I will be with you. I don't care about the economy. God wasn't impressed with Egypt. You know? Notice it wasn't the politicians that were going to stop Isaac. It wasn't the economy that was going to stop him. It wasn't the gas prices. Come on. It wasn't the unemployment rate. That's what it looked like naturally, but God said, stay right here, and I'll be with you. I'll bless you, for unto you and your seed, he said, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham your father. Look at verse 4. And I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Look at verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Notice Isaac was going to reap of the blessings because of Abraham.
Yes.
So here's the third thing that almost happened. Or you could say this is something that Isaac did to make sure he got to his due season. He was connected to someone that had the blessing.
Yes.
He was connected to the right person. Yeah, Abraham, his dad. Oh, that really went over. He was connected to a faithful person. Isaac served his father. He was obedient to the call that was on his dad. Isaac looked at the older generation, the more spiritual generation. He learned and he served, and then it blessed his life. Listen, my life is a big result of being connected with a faithful man or woman of God. I'll just tell you right now. Listen, if anyone ever, if you ever thought that, you know, that I or really any of our leadership here think that we got anywhere on our own, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I've not gotten anywhere by myself. I have never done one good thing on my own.
Right.
Jesus gets all the praise and glory. And here's the thing, is that also men and women that have taught me and mentored me, and that they themselves were faithful, I looked at generations that went before me, watched how they served, watched how they honor God and are faithful. And I just imitate those that live for Jesus, and it has blessed my life.
Amen.
Listen, and I'm not saying this, because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because I have a pastor that I am very glad that I am connected. Amen. I am very glad that I'm connected to my pastor.
Yes.
You know, he and I, we have a funny relationship at times. And, you know, I was sitting there, I was in my Bible the other day, just sitting in my office. And I just got, you know, overwhelmed and sappy. I'm not usually a sappy guy, all right? But all of a sudden, I just had this overwhelming appreciation. And I picked up my cell phone and I just started texting Pastor Michael. I just said to him, I said, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you in my life. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness, because I know that I wouldn't be able to be used for God had I not followed somebody who's faithful to the Lord. And, you know, and I'm sitting there and I send it and I'm thinking, you know, oh, that'll warm his heart. And, you know, he'll send me, you know, and maybe he'll send me a message back that says, son, I love you too. Oh, no. That isn't coming. I get a couple of emojicon thumbs up. I get like a couple thumbs up and a couple smiley faces. I'm like, thanks, Dad. You know, and of course he joked around. He said something along the line of, kindness is for sissies or something. He was kidding. Like, well, because I sent him a message. I'm like, oh, that's great. I said, if Pastor Jeff Michener or someone, one of your spiritual grandsons, would have sent you a message saying, I love you, he would have been like, oh, I love you too, grandson.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know that thing in real life where the grandparents get to be the fun?
Yeah, sure.
They're, you know? And then, you know, I mean, I had that kind of relationship with Dr. Dufresne.
Yeah.
He was Pastor Michael's spiritual father, and I just, you know, had a relationship where it was all fun. It was, you know, that's all it was. It was just a lot of fun, and we would message each other, and Dr. Dufresne was always sending me message, love you, grandson, thinking about you, love you. And Pastor Michael's like, I never get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's because you're a son and not a grandson. And I said, oh, Pastor Michael, I said, if that had been Pastor Jeff or somebody would have texted you that, you would have said, oh, grandson, I love you. You're the best on this earth. Yeah, I said, you would have been, you know, just so kind and smiley and stuff. But me, I get emojicons. But Isaac was connected to his father. He was connected to someone that was faithful. He followed the example of someone that was faithful. Listen, I have a story. I have just a way of saying this, and you know that I always precede this, these kind of statements like this. I'm not after anyone to follow me, so to speak. You know what I mean? I understand my role as a pastor. I'm an example to you. That is what the Bible says. I'm personally not trying to make subjects of anybody. You know, but I always put that out there before I make statements like this. But if we think that we're going to have God's highest and best without following somebody who's faithful to the Lord, we're not going to make it. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. I'm so grateful for folks like Pastor Nancy Dufresne, for Dr. Dufresne, and that, you know, their faithfulness to God and how I learned from that and have them in my life. Very grateful. One, because I need to be accountable to somebody. Listen, I tell you what, you better be very careful about pastors who are rogues out there in the body of Christ. I'm not a rogue. I'm not going out through the body of Christ without accountability. I have accountability. I have accountability around me here in this church. I have other ministers that hold me accountable. Pastor Michael and I went out to lunch the other day. He gets in the car, and the first question, before he says anything, he doesn't even say hi. He gets in the car, how's your marriage? How you been treating your wife? I think pretty well. you know, you always, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I mean, well, I really do believe that. Would she say the same thing? Yeah, I believe so. You know, you don't want to, you know, you're not trying to be like, oh, yeah, she's, you know, I'm just like, yes, I believe that. You know, what is he doing? He's holding me accountable. I mean, he gets on my case, you know, and we need to have that accountability in our life, with our believers, with our pastors. We better have other faithful people that we're connected to.
Yes.
Listen, and watch out, because this town is loaded with rogue pastors. You know, and there's some wonderful, wonderful churches here. Many of them. But there's also some that are out there on their own. Who are they connected to? Well, I'm connected to someone in California. You know, meaning, you know, have you met them? No. Have you ever sat down with them? No. Do they mentor you? No. Do they hold you accountable? No. Then you're not connected. The Bible says that the whole body of Christ better be jointly fit together.
Yes.
You better have someone in your life that's holding you accountable, teaching you the Word of God, mentoring you from a pastoral standpoint.
Amen.
You need it. I'm just telling you, say, oh man, he's trying to make himself something. No, I'm not. Because I'm in the same boat you are.
That's right.
And I'm very grateful for the people that are over me. And I want to be a blessing to them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, he almost missed it. If he would have gone, if he would have left the place of his blessing, if he would have listened to the opinions of Abimelech, he would have missed that great influence that he was about to reap.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, that was the third thing. He's connected to a faithful person. Didn't Jesus say that? It says, if you have not served in that which is another man's, who could trust to you your own? What is that over there? Luke 16, 10 and 11. Pastor Brad, fact check me. I think that's the right verses. But if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's. You know, some people, they miss that. They miss that principle terrible. You want God to bless you with your own business? Serve faithfully in the business you're working for right now. Yep. Oh, you know, I want to have this. I want to have that. I want to be used greater in ministry and so on. Well, be faithful where you're at right now.
Amen.
Yep. I've had people leave this church because they told me, you don't let me preach enough. You don't let me preach enough. And my response is, you think this church is a tryout? It's a tryout ground? Is it, you know, and that mentality is basically saying, I need to preach because it is my stepping stone into being something great. Listen, it's a fearful thing to be called on by God to preach.
Yes.
Meaning a holy, reverent thing.
Yes, it is.
And I tell you what, it's been 10 years and there is not a Sunday and a Wednesday that there isn't a godly kind of dread on me, if I could explain it that way. You know, and that responsibility that I don't want to mess up people's lives. I want to be very pure in how we bring the word across. I don't want to miss that. I don't want to mess with someone's life. I don't want to tell you something that's not true. Hence why we're always bringing the scriptures up. Because I don't want it based on my opinion. If it's my opinion, it can fail and fail bad. But if it's God's word, it can't fail. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to be connected to faithful people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. So let's go on here. We're almost to the end. Here's the fourth thing that Abraham did. Verse 12. Then Isaac sowed in the land of famine. Boy, if that just don't make sense.
Right.
See, everyone else was running into Egypt to hold on to what they have. Isaac sowed it. Man says when famine comes, hold on to what you have because you're never going to have it again. Yep. But God says you want to find your way out of famine, sow your way out.
Sow your way out.
Sow your way out. Sow your way out of famine.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that went over big. This is what he did. Listen. Not only do you need new seasons in your physical health, you need new seasons in your spiritual life, you're going to need new seasons financially.
Oh, yeah.
It sure was a new season coming to Isaac financially.
Yeah.
Sow your way out. People say, well, I can't give because the economy's bad. No, the economy's bad because people don't give. America is in the shape that she is in financially is because the church stopped tithing. That's absolutely right. The body of Christ in America. Do you realize that this nation gave more during the Great Depression than is giving now? During the Great Depression, there was at least 1 or 2% higher amount of giving in the Great Depression than there is currently in the United States of America. Yep. And do you know that in the United States, that the group that gives the largest amount of its income, it's not the rich, It's not even the middle class, it's the poor. The poor gives the highest rate of giving to the church in America. Why? Because somewhere along the line, the blessing in this country, people have gotten this idea that you hold on to it. Meaning that, you know, the only thing you do is hold on to it for yourself when tough times come. No, that's not what Isaac did. He sowed in the land of famine. He sowed in the face of circumstances. Listen, you're being tested and tried and in things. That's when you go to church more. Not because you need a trial or a crisis to tell you to go to church. But you don't grow weary in well-doing and stop sowing. You know, I'll tell you what. You know, and I know my wife wouldn't mind me using her as an illustration, but I have seen in times of trial in my wife's life, of course, she's always faithful. She doesn't need a trial or a crisis to get going. But I've seen when she has been tried and some stuff, of course, that she's now on the other side of and things that were heavyweight trials. You probably never even knew. But when she was, you know, facing heavyweight trial, I watched her dig her heels in, go to the Word day in and day out, day in and day out. And what did she do? She sowed her way out of that circumstance. She sowed the Word. She sowed her effort. She sowed praying. She sowed her faith. I watched her sow financially. I mean, stuff that was just beyond our family's money. I mean, even her personal, you know, increase that would come. I mean, she would get blessed or something, and next thing you know, out it was going. I'm just watching her all the time, sending out blessings to people, just mailing them out, just a bunch of different people, people that are ministers, people that are not ministers, just being a blessing. What was she doing? She was sowing her way out. That's absolutely right. See, this is how we make sure we don't miss our due season. Yeah. Amen. I'm not following the wrong advice from people that don't follow God. I don't leave my place of blessing. Circumstances do not change God's mind. Right? Three, I'm connected to faithful people. Listen, if you're connected to someone that all their life ever is just a nonstop set of desperate circumstances after another, you're connected wrong. Their whole life is nothing but panic and worry and crisis. Those are not the people I take spiritual counsel from. Listen, one of the greatest blessings you can have in your life is someone who is stable. I don't have time for instability in my life. Meaning, bringing into my personal confidence someone that I am going to listen to. If you're unstable, you're here and there and everywhere, and you're frazzle-brained and everything, you're not going to be in my personal confidence. Meaning, I'm not going to take your counsel. Because whoever you listen to, whatever's in their life, you're going to get it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right, now here's the result, and we're going to finish this up here in just a minute. Go over to verse 17. Yes. We're seeking the right voices in our life, people that are following God. We're not removing ourselves from our place of blessing. Yeah, we're connected to people that have the blessing in their life, faithful people that serve God with all their heart. Four, sow your way out. Yeah. Yep, you're going through a tough time financially. I tell you what, that's not the time to stop tithing. I'm just telling you. Just telling you. All right. Here's the result. Of course, I read it already, that he became greater in influence and goods. But now go down to verse 17. Look what else happened. It says, and Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there, because that's where God told him to go. And it says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So he goes back to the same land. He's following the pattern of Abraham, who was faithful. He gets back there, and all the watering holes were all filled in by the enemies. The Philistines had just plugged them up with dirt. And how many of you know, in a famine land, you need a few water holes, right? And so they found these. And Isaac said, that's all right. He said, dig them again. There's water under there. Yeah. And he starts digging these wells again. and water starts showing up. And how many of you know that other people in that region weren't happy for Isaac when he found those watering holes? Just like, listen, don't be surprised when you get blessed by your Heavenly Father and the world doesn't throw a party for you. They're not. They're not going to throw a party for you. Watch this. Now, in verse 19, it says, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley, found there a well of springing water. Woo-hoo! Glory to God, prosperity in the famine. And what was that? That was the well that Abraham drank from. Listen, you follow someone who's faithful and the blessings of God are in their life, you're going to get what they've got. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now watch this in verse 20. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen. Oh, all of a sudden the others are looking and say, wait a minute, we're not happy that they found that water. And so they strive. Watch this. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive or fight with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of that well Esek, because they strove with him or fought with him. And so it says this, and they, Isaac's servants, digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. Okay, so another fight. So what happened was the people of Gerar, they got mad. They said, how dare you be blessed? Sounds like a lot of Christians today. When they see other blessed Christians, how dare they be blessed? And so Isaac, knowing that a fight or striving would destroy the plan of God, he said, I'm not going to fight. Here, you have this well. We'll go over here. Dig again. Oh, look, more water. Yeah. And then the world looked over and said, oh, wait, he found another well. Go get that one too. And so then Isaac said, here, I'm not going to fight with you again. You could have that well, Esek, and now you could have Sitna. Here, take that one too. He said, I'll go over here again. And so Isaac moved a little bit further, and guess what he found? Yep, in verse 22, he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not, and he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Listen, that is when the blessing of God, when you hit that due season, no matter how much the world tries to plug your wells full of dirt, everywhere you go, water is going to start springing up. Because that is the, listen, when you are in the right place, connected to the right faithful people, doing what God told you to do, water is going to come up no matter where you went. Glory to God. I love that. And see, Isaac said, I know I can be generous because I'm obeying God. Now that I'm faithful, okay, you want to take my well of water? You can take it. I'll go dig another one. The water will follow me. I don't have to follow the water. Because Isaac wasn't after the water. He was after the plan of God. And when you're after the plan of God, the water's going to follow you. I'm not chasing money in this life. I'm not chasing cars in this life. I'm not chasing homes in this life. I'm not chasing investments. I'm not chasing businesses. Those are not my priorities. My priorities are to be exactly where God wants me, doing what He told me to do, being connected to the right place, the right people, the right time. And then wherever I go, there's going to be more than enough provision. He said, I'll go over here. The Lord will just make room for me over here. Listen, I don't care if you say, well, there's layoffs coming to the company. God has something better for you. Every time the world tried to push Isaac out, Isaac, God's got something better for me. It's got something better. Oh, look, another well. Oh, we want that one. Okay, well, I'm not going to fight with you. You have it. Oh, look, another one. Hey, we want that one too. Well, I'm not going to fight with you. Go ahead and have it. I'll just go over here. Oh, look, another well, even better than the first two. Hallelujah. Listen, the world can't fill your wells full of dirt. They can't keep the water down. You know what I'm saying? There's not enough dirt on this earth to keep someone who is sowing at the right time, at the right place. Are you getting something out of this? But don't miss your due season. Don't miss it. Folks, I'm just going to tell you straight here before we get ready to dismiss. I have unfortunately seen many people. I mean, instantly as I start talking about this, names. I could literally just, where, you know, the Lord had spoke to me, showed me concerning things for people, and then I watch as they missed it. You know, and I watch as the devil came and tried to throw their family into turmoil, finances into turmoil, and they allowed circumstances to get them to waver. And then they just went floating around the body of Christ, floating around. And the whole time, and there's times I tell my wife, God had this and that for that person. I watched, there was somebody, they were elders in the body of Christ. They had served God. This one person in particular, and you know, this individual was older in years, in her 80s, and the Lord had spoke to me concerning something that she was going through, and the Lord said she has 3 years left, and she has fruit to produce yet, meaning that she was going to be fruitful in her last few years on this earth. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and all of a sudden there came, you know, an attack against her body, and I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Lord, you told me she's got more time than this. She's got more time. She's still got things to do. But what happened? She missed that due season. There was something more influence for her to have. But I'm just going to tell you, I watched her miss it by not being in the Word, not renewing her mind. Listen, it's very easy to miss the seasons if you're not renewing your mind in the Word, if you're not in the house of God like you should be, if you're not connected. Come on now. See, we all want to rejoice over the due season. Woo-hoo, glory to God. He sowed in the land of famine. See, we all want to rejoice at the hundredfold. But let's not forget to do all that Isaac did. Amen. Don't miss out. Listen, the Bible says that it's God's plan that we're fruitful even in old age. You don't retire, you refire, right? You know, you don't grow out of being blessed. Listen. Age is the time of reaping on this earth. Good. See, our society is so down on age. God puts age good in experience. Amen. Listen, you know, if you've ever felt like, oh, I'm older in life now, I'm second rate. Oh, no. You can be patriarchs and matriarchs, examples for the younger generation, teaching and showing them how to serve God, showing them what fruitfulness truly looks like. Yes. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We glorify you. Father, we don't want to miss.